You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
We've been in a series called Keeping It Old School. We've been taking some old school biblical truths and making sure that they don't die out. Last week, we had the cool privilege and honor of seeing four kids dedicated to the Lord and four people baptized. Isn't that awesome? And we have literally every single week been building upon this series. And if I can be honest with you here in this moment, I want to tell you why I am preaching what I'm preaching this morning. I am preaching on the Holy Spirit this morning, okay? And I'm a lot of times, if you've been in church or out of church, when you hear the Holy Spirit, your mind can immediately go to one aspect of his gift, which is speaking in tongues. It makes people nervous because we see the flamboyance. And people say, that's the Holy Spirit. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. Okay, it can be the result of him being in the place. But this morning, I wanted to introduce you to the Holy Spirit for several reasons. One is because I am hearing from many of you of the things that's happening in your life, and it seems like we are stuck in some places where we're fighting against the enemy. We have had, honestly, and I'm just being open with you of things that's in my life. Is that good if your pastor is just honest with you? Where so you can know that my life is not perfect. We've got friends whose parents are being rushed to the hospital because they fear that they could have some form of cancer. Their parents have dementia. I have a friend who literally got me into the Bible study that we were in college. Her mom was tragically killed in a car accident just last week. I've got family members who are going through. I've got friends who are going through. I have emails that are coming from you, text messages that are coming through, and it all seems like it's an attack. And as a pastor, my responsibility is to not preach something that just sounds good. My design is to position you to win. And anytime you even get a sniffling of an enemy coming at your people, it's my responsibility to expose it. And the only way that I could expose it this morning is to give you a power source. And I have to introduce us to the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to set aside the gift of tongues because it is his gift. But along with his gift, he also has prophecy, administration, faith, workings of miracles. So when we think of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we think of someone who's spooky. We think of what we see on TV where people are falling down. The power of God is real. Those things happen. But that is a result. That is not the person. This morning, if you will allow me, I'd like to introduce you to the person of the Holy Spirit because we forget about him. And when we forget about him, we miss out on power. Is that okay? So it's going to be okay either way because it's already in my notes. I ain't got nothing else planned. I'm like, is it okay? It's okay. If you say no, we stuck. This will be a communal service. Anyone? Is there one? Anyone have anything to say this morning? So what I want us to do is I want you to let your guard down. Because I've been in places where someone has said it's the Holy Spirit. I said this many times before. And when Sister Johnson jumped off of the balcony and hurt her neck, and she said it was the Holy Spirit, we were like, no, Miss Johnson, you jumped off the balcony. Yes. So sometimes we can blame stuff on the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that God is a God of order. So anything that would give us has to be explained. Hopefully, if I do what the Holy Spirit has asked me to do today and I present him well to you, you'll want to hang out with him. Are you with me? Just so you know, because we've been talking about the old school, the Holy Spirit didn't just show up in the book of Acts. The Bible actually said that the Spirit of God hovered in the book of Genesis. And then when God said it's time to create, he said, let's do this. Yeah. So he's always been walking. The Bible actually says in Psalms 51 that David said, hey, please don't let me be outside of your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So it's not just a tongues thing, y'all. The Holy Spirit has been rolling since the beginning of time. If this is your first time here, I'm going to be passionate. Just so you know, I don't want to freak nobody out. But I love Jesus so much, and I just have to preach it how I know it. Is that good? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to take a journey. Go with me to John chapter 1, and then we're going to go to John chapter 20. Those two verses are going to be setup verses. I'm going to take my time to give you some content, and then I'm going to speed up. Is that okay? Yeah. So I'm going to start. We're going to get you in the plane. I'm going to give you all the instructions while you're on the plane. I'm going to take us on the tarmac of the plane. We're going to say we're number 2 for takeoff. Once we hit takeoff, you just got to stay with me. John chapter 1 says this. It says, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him, that's Jesus. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Pause, John baptized Jesus. And the Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, heaven opened up. We preached about this the last 2 weeks. It says that this is my Son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased. And the Bible says that heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. And it says, when you read Matthew chapter 3, it says that when Jesus left, he left with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he went into the wilderness. The enemy tested him 3 times. And it says that he even left with more power after that. So this is John saying, before I ever baptized him, the Spirit told me that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon him. But when Jesus is on the earth, Jesus is going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. You with me? You tracking with me? If not, just say, slow down, man. John chapter 20 says this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. This is right after Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus said, peace be with you. I love how Jesus just showed up in the room. He frightens everybody and he's like, peace be with you. Like, Jesus, couldn't you have knocked on the door? You know what I mean? Like, he just showed up. The doors were closed. Splat out, I'm here. Don't be afraid. Calm down. Like, Jesus, if you knock on the door, I wouldn't be afraid. Peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And when he said this to them, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're just talking about Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. The reason why I read to you John was because I wanted us to see that the Holy Spirit didn't just show up on the scene. He actually was preparing everybody that Jesus was carrying something in addition to death, burial, and resurrection. He was carrying salvation because salvation brings us back into relationship with God the Father. But Jesus knew that once he went back to heaven, that there was no way that we can function powerless. So he had to leave us with some power. Are you tracking so far? So when John says that he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, he is not talking about dipping you in water. What he is saying is that the Holy Spirit, when Jesus releases it, is going to immerse you, is going to cover you. And so there is the baptism that we experienced with water last week. But Jesus actually said, hey, I need to cover you with what I'm walking in. The Bible says that when Jesus came, the Holy Spirit, when he was baptized, came upon him, covered him like a dove. The reason why, even though he was born, Jesus, Savior of the world, he still walked in the footprints of man. He was modeling every single step for you and I. So Jesus, if you remember the story of Jesus turning water to wine, he looks at his mom and says, my time's not yet. The reason why is because God hadn't released the power in him yet. But mama knew that you already carrying something because I carried you, and he said that the Holy Spirit was going to put you inside. So she said, whatever he says to do, you do. All right, go get some water, put him in these vats, pour it out. There you go. But Jesus' full ministry clicks in the high gear the minute the Holy Spirit hits him. The reason why is because the power source had to be plugged in. Track with me. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. He had risen from the dead. He is in bodily form, just so you know. Jesus is not a spirit. He walked back up to heaven, full body, nails in his hand, piercing in his side. When you get to heaven, he'll be able to show you. Here you go. That's the only way that he could walk out, because then everybody else would assume it was a myth if he left his body in the grave. But he walked out so that when he walked into the room, he looked at his disciples and says, everything that you saw is for real. And he says this, he says, now receive the Holy Spirit. You guys are now in your seats. Your seatbelts are on. Now we're going onto the tarmac. You ready? Old school rhythm happens like this. Old school rhythm happens like this. The word of God is alive and active and must be received. Here's our old school rhythm that you'll find throughout scripture. The word of God is alive and active and must be received. The second thing is that you are immersed into the body and the family of Christ. Terminology. When you hear the body of Christ, that is a spiritual term, which means the family of God. It is God taking you and joining you with the person beside you. Is God using your gift with my gift? Is God using your personality with my personality to fulfill his purpose? So when you hear the body of Christ, it is a spiritual term, which means the family of Christ. So when you receive Jesus, you are coming into the family of Christ. You are a son and a daughter, week 3 and week 4 of this series. You are a son and a daughter, so you are immersed into the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for we were all baptized by one, look at this word, spirit, there he is again, in one body. Galatians 3:26-27 says, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been, here's this word, clothed yourselves with Christ. You've been covered with Christ. So you've been immersed into the body of Christ. This is the rhythm. So we have the word of God is alive, it's active, must be received. It is immersed. We are immersed into the body of Christ. Here's the third thing. We go liquid with our faith, which is water baptized. So I received Jesus. My next step is I'm going to be liquid. We preached about this the last 2 weeks, and we said that our faith has to become liquid because of the authentic worship and connection that we have to God the Father. It cannot just stay to ourselves. We have to go public. We have to make everyone around us know that Jesus is who we are living for. I'm bold about it. We had 4 people last week say, I'm going liquid with my faith. I'm not going to be ashamed because Jesus did something for me. So we can't stay silent. So we get water baptized and we go liquid with our faith. The Bible says in Acts 16 that the word of God is spoken to a jailer. And the word of the Lord is spoken to him and to all who were in his house. They took him that same hour of the night. They washed their stripes and immediately the jailer and his family were baptized. So he hears the word. He says, I'm going to receive Jesus. And then he says, I need to be baptized. I'm going liquid. Can you imagine in this day, in this story, there is a jailer who put Paul and Silas in the prison. He hears them praying and singing praises to God, and he's curious. He says, I want to know the Jesus that you know. He goes bold while he's working as their enemy. He says, I need to become a part of your family. When you go liquid with your faith, God can shift even your enemy. How many of y'all got some crusty people at your job that, don't put your hand, I'm just kidding. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Sometimes you have those people who are a thorn in your side, but I wonder if God positioned you where you are because you are the one to change them. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever asked God, why do you have me in this cubicle with Jerome? Have you ever asked? I'm being 100% serious. Have you asked God, why is your boss the way they are? I wonder if you and I were liquid with our faith, if that person would begin to get curious about your faith. This is just the old school rhythm, which leads us to where we are today, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. John, he will come and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Holy Spirit means. This is by definition. This is by definition. Holy, splendor, glorious majesty. Spirit means breath of fresh air. Carrying power and authority. So when we think of the Holy Spirit, in no way does it say baptism in everything that you have seen and have scrutinized. No. When the Holy Spirit comes, he is a breath of fresh air carrying power and authority. Breath of fresh air carrying power and authority. How many times do you and I get tired, get fatigued, feel like a punching bag, needing the joy of the Lord, and we don't know where to turn? The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a breath of fresh air, but he carries power and he carries authority. Here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of the Lord, they sent Peter and John to them. When they had arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized, that third thing that we talked about, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Here we go. Let me tell you this myth right here. Here's a myth. The Holy Spirit is tongues. That's a myth. The Holy Spirit is tongues. Let me give you another myth. Amazon is a digital book company. They sell books. But that is not who they are. The Holy Spirit has the gift of speaking in tongues, but he cannot be identified by that, because the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So that tells me that he's more than just the gifts that he brings. He's power. So the reason why I'm hitting it hard is because I want us to bring down our guard, because sometimes when we hear it, we can get fearful and we will miss out on what Jesus has called a gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's two fears that I have. Two fears that I have. And I was thinking about this when we talk about the Holy Spirit. I have two fears. Let me give you the first one. You ready? You can write this down. And I feel like God has this same fear. It's the fear that you won't live with and in the power of God. You won't live with and in the power of God. The fear that you won't live with and in the power of God. Here's the second. The fear that you won't know the person of the Holy Spirit. It's possible to live a powerless life. How frightening. Be on our way to heaven and not be tapped into the power. That's where religion comes in. That's what we're trying to break. We're trying to sit in relationship where you and I are sons and daughters of the Most High. And everything that the Father gives, we want. Fear of not living with or in the power of God. Fear that we won't know the person of the Holy Spirit. Here's why. Judges chapter 2 says this. After that, in verse 10, it says, after that, generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. There is a generation that could possibly not know the power of God. There's a generation that could say, I'm going to heaven, and just exist. It's a fear that you and I will not live with or live in the power of God and not know the person of the Holy Spirit. The book of Judges says, there will arise a generation who won't even acknowledge or want to even know what he's done. I love the fact that we heard the testimony this morning of Jorge, because some of us won't know. We can see him walk out and go to his car, and he's got two kids, but some people won't know that they moved from Venezuela to flee persecution because it looks good now. But 2 years ago, it wasn't. I wonder if their kids will know the story of what God did. It would be a shame if they didn't tell their two kids, when mom and dad moved to the United States, we didn't live in this beautiful house. We didn't have these beautiful cars, but it was by his grace. And it was his grace that kept your mom and dad. See, you and I have to give, we have to give credit to the source, to the power source. It is the power of God that is keeping you alive today. The Bible says that when God formed man, he didn't just speak to man. He receive the Holy Spirit. The life that you're breathing right now is the very Spirit of God. But many of us could be in here this morning and not be plugged into the power. So we could be taking advantage of the breath of God, but not be functioning in the power of God. What good would it do to just have his breath, but not his power? What good would it do to just be going to heaven, but not exist? I want to be able to pray for my sick family member. I want my family saved. I want to be the conduit. You may not be around. What if you don't pick up the phone when I need you the most? There's got to be something that I'm tapped into. I don't want to just hear my mom and my grandparents' stories. What will happen to City Place Church when we're gone? If there is no source of power now? City Place Church won't exist if we don't say, Holy Spirit, be yourself. We have to know the person of the Holy Spirit. He is not flamboyant. He is the person of God himself. He is refreshing. But he has power and he has authority and he doesn't play games. It's the fear of being a Christian and not living with his power, or knowing the person of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, 1 through 2 says this. Listen, this is amazing. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Then he found some disciples and asked them, Pause really fast. I'm sorry, I'm just jumping in there. He found some disciples, followers of Jesus. Paul is going and he says, yo, what's going on? How was service today? How's everything going? How's everything? It's good. Watch. He sees some disciples, and this is what he asked him. He says, did y'all receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And this is what they said. We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you. Yay! Thank you for dying on the cross. We receive you. We've taken our step. We received the word. We've jumped into the family. We were water baptized. The Holy Spirit, what you talking about? We haven't even heard of him. It's a fear that we could live without and don't even know the person. And the Bible says that Paul looks at him and goes, okay, let me explain. He is the gift from Jesus himself. He is the one that Jesus talked about when he said that when I go, it's to your advantage that you expect the gift, because I won't be able to be with you. I won't be here every day, so if you need something done, I won't be here, but it's to your advantage that I give you the gift that the Father promised. I'm going to show you the verse in a second. So when these men and women, they get to this place, and they're like, Paul, it's so good to see you. Church is going great. Church is going phenomenal. We've been growing. Small groups are great. Kids' ministry is great. Paul's like, but have you guys heard about the Holy Spirit yet? Holy Spirit? No. Paul doesn't just go, okay. Paul breaks it down to him and says, hey, listen, I'm glad I came because you would have missed living with and in the power of God. You would have missed living with the person of the Holy Spirit. And Paul begins to share, and the Bible, when you read it, it says that Paul began to speak, lay hands on them, and their life began to change. So now we're on the tarmac. We're ready for takeoff. We've gone through the rhythm. We've gotten in the plane, put on our seatbelt, turned the corner. We're number one for takeoff. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. The fear of not knowing him, I don't want that. I have to introduce you to the person of the Holy Spirit, and the only way to do it is to do it through what Jesus would have said. So our final scripture for today that I'm going to have you go to is John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, Jesus himself is having a dialogue with his disciples. To give you context, Jesus spends like 3 or 4 straight chapters, and he's just downloading his heart to what's going to take place when he dies. He's talking about them. He's talking about him. He's talking about the Father. He's talking about their need for the Father. He's talking about what they're going to go through because of him. And when he gets to chapter 16, he has this dialogue with them, and he says this. He says, "Now I'm going away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come," watch now, "he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and of sin, because they do not believe in me. Or of righteousness, but because I go to my Father and you will see me no more, of judgment, because of the ruler of the world who is judged," he says this, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't handle them now." Verse 13, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Jesus says this. He says, "I am going to leave you with a gift that you need. And it's better than me being in front of you." He said, "It's for your advantage that I leave the Holy Spirit." He says, "Now listen, the Holy Spirit will do the work you can't do. You have friends that need to have a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit will do it. You have some things, whether you wonder whether it's true or false, he'll speak truth. You feel like you're going at it alone, he'll be your helper." When you look up the word helper, it means this. It means intercessor, comforter, friend, source of power. All in that word helper. It means that he will be there for you and he will never leave you. Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I am not here, because I can't be in Italy. I can't be in Detroit. I can't be in Amsterdam. I can't be in D.C. But if the Holy Spirit is here, you'll never be by yourself." He says, "So it's to your advantage that I leave him with you." And this is what he says. He says, "Everything that the Father tells me, I'm going to tell the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you. You will never be without. The Holy Spirit is here for you." He says, "Everything that the Father whispers, I whisper to him, and he's going to tell you." You and I have to have a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. The reason why is because everything that we don't know, every answer that we need, everything that we're trying to accomplish, we have to have a power source. We have to have a power source. And in the flamboyancy of how he has been presented, we have sometimes left the Holy Spirit on the shelf, thinking that he's just one thing. When he is not, he is a person that when Jesus went to heaven, he said, "Now remain." So let me tell you who he is. He is a person. You can write that down. The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus clearly says when he comes, he is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. 500 days left until the new millennium. Sorry, Kirk Franklin. He is a person. Jesus said he's your helper. He says he will not depart from you. He is a person. Second thing, the Holy Spirit is the seal of your salvation. The minute you said, Jesus, I'm a part of the family, the Holy Spirit said, let's do this. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you right now, y'all. He sealed your salvation. The thing that I'm saying is, let's tap into the power. He is in you. If you accepted Jesus Christ, they're mine. The Bible says that he's sealed you. Look at what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says. It says, in him you also trusted, this is Jesus, after you have remembered the order and the rhythm of being old school, after you have heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed. We said that just believing in Jesus requires three things. You accept, believe, and confess. It's just ABCs. And look, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you have the seal, the contents belong to the one that has the seal. I don't expect mustard to come out of Heinz ketchup. Heinz ketchup. Anybody else? Oh, mustard! Nope. Heinz ketchup. Why? Because the seal. I know the brand. I know who manufactured it. Are you with me? So when you say, Jesus, come inside, the Holy Spirit says, I got this from here. Boom. Then he starts convicting you of things. Oh, I don't know. Should I do that? I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't know. My thing is that I want to introduce you to the person so you can know who's working, so that you can tap into him, so you can acknowledge the fact that he's there, that he's there. Then you go, Lord, Holy Spirit, I need you now. Everybody good? He's a helper. I said that earlier. He's a helper. Comforter. And this is by definition. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's an aide or an assistant. He leads people into a deeper relationship with God the Father. The Bible says that no one can come unto Jesus unless the Spirit pulls him close. So how is he my help? How is he my help? The first thing is that the Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously. This is how he helps. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously. Remember, the minute that the seal goes on, God's like, welcome back to the family. We're going to do some amazing things together. So he seals you, but he empowers you to live righteously. Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are controlled not by a sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. So the things that you and I will struggle with sometimes, we actually don't have to struggle with them, because the Bible says if God's Spirit is in you, then you can live by the Spirit. But if we don't know that the Spirit of God is in us and we can tap into the power, guess what? Let me just struggle with this. I know I'm making it seem like it's elementary, but here's what it says, that when the Spirit of God is in you, you don't have to live like you used to live. That's what it means when you see the sinful nature. The sinful nature is before Jesus stepped in. But the minute you step into his family, the Bible says that you don't have to live like you used to live. So if you have accepted Jesus and you say stuff like, I keep going back to, I can't seem to shake this. This is in my family. I want to tell you that meeting the person of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to just be your source of power and strength, the verse clearly says that he will empower you to live righteously. You don't have to do the work. Jesus already told the disciples, listen, he's the one that convicts. So you don't have to live disappointed, like, I can't believe I continue to make these mistakes. Oh, I'm so sorry, I can't. Jesus is like, hey, stay in the family. Let me continue to work on you. I got you. I'll keep working on you. That's my responsibility, not yours. That's the reason why I gave you the gift. That's the reason why I gave you the person of the Holy Spirit. He'll handle that. He'll get you right. Here's the second thing. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live supernaturally. Supernaturally. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Did you see that? That Jesus himself was walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the miracles were being done by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit could move in your house, all because he's already sealed you. We just got to let him do the work. I wonder if we've been living outside of the power source and he's been on the inside the whole time, just ready to just go, let me in the game. I got this for you. You don't have to fight with depression anymore. Let me hop in here. You don't have to worry. Let me go. I want in. Supernatural. You can live a supernatural life when you're praying in Jesus' name, he will respond. How many of y'all would say, Damon, I have a need right now that I cannot meet? I have a prayer request. I have whatever. Let me see. I wonder if we give that to Jesus and we go, all right, Jesus, Pastor Damon said it. I'm going to put it to the test. Holy Spirit, if you're going to be the power source and the breath of fresh air in my life, prove yourself. I know this sounds real crazy. Why not? I can't do it. I've already tried everything. Why don't I give him a chance? Here's the third thing. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live on mission. I don't know if you're like me sometimes. Sometimes I get off track. God, is this what you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? Even as a pastor. And sometimes I can feel like I am off base. I feel like I'm missing the mark. I feel like I'm late. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will help us to live on missions. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. Paul is preaching the gospel, and he said that because of the power of the Holy Spirit, I didn't miss it. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, when I was preaching the gospel, lives were being changed. When we were going from city to city, people were being baptized. People were being filled with the Spirit of God. The churches were growing. Families were being changed. Why? Because we leaned into the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just preaching. My desire is when we're preaching up here on Sundays that we're not giving you a motivational speech, but there's something to where you look and you go, man, you were preaching to me today. I have no clue. But it's just, God, give us something that's fresh so that when we come in here, we don't want to give up a Sunday just to come in. If we give up a Sunday, God, we want to have an encounter with you. So, Lord, speak to me. So when we're preparing throughout the week, we're like, God, show up. Before you came in this morning, we had a group of people praying that God would meet you where you are. Not because this is just something we get to do. I love it. But I'm like, God, in full desperation, without your power, without your presence, without the person, the Holy Spirit, you could have somebody else do this. I could show a video. But what would it mean if the presence of God could reside in our home? This morning, you're sitting in here, and I just want to encourage you to make him a part of your life. I wrote this last thought down. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. Sometimes people, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, if you don't do this and if you don't do that, it makes you feel less than. It makes you feel less than. No. Being filled with the Spirit of God makes me a better me. Makes me a better me. The Holy Spirit has tons of gifts, y'all. Our church is a Spirit-filled church, just so you know. We are a Spirit-filled church. We believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in healing. We believe in prophecy. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in prophecy. As I said earlier, we believe in administration. We believe in giving. So we're not going to shy away from the fact that our church believes in the fullness of everything that the Holy Spirit has. But I want you to know the person this morning. I don't want you to be afraid of the person. Next week, we'll talk about the gifts that he gives. Because he brings them in a big red bag. That's Santa, by the way, y'all. Just kidding. He brings them. And once we know the person, we won't be afraid to ask for the gifts. Won't be afraid. Lord, I want to be able to have the gift of giving. I want to have the gift of administration. I want to be able to speak in an unknown tongue. I want to be able to pray and have the gift of faith. But I want to introduce you to the person because he's a breath of fresh air.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.